Here we go on our national hour, the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Steve Valiquette, analyst for the New York Rangers, the struggling New York Rangers, to the point where last night, Steve Valiquette was covering the game and had some choice words for Jack Hughes, who went on a breakaway. And I think the term that Jack Valiquette used was blatant disrespect on a one-handed backhand attempt. Yeah. So I guess this blew up social media, did it not, guys?
Yeah. So I'll give you my take. My opinion is that Valley wasn't trying to blow up Jack Hughes so much as the Rangers. I think he was making a point about the Rangers not doing anything, no pushback, no stand-up, whatever. And, you know, because he used the phrase kind of flippantly that it was Instagram hockey. And so the Devils social media team put out a video of him saying Instagram hockey. Well, they shot five pucks in the net, and then it became a whole thing. And now we got the man on his way in. We got him. Valley, what did you do?
All right, let's welcome him in. Does a terrific job. Always. Yeah. One of our favorites on the show, Steve Valiquette. Interesting times in New York. I will tell you, though, if I'm Chris Drury today, I'm ecstatic that you got
I took the attention away.
All of it last night while I kind of slipped out the back door. All right, just where do you want to start, Steve? And just in terms of, you know, where it was left off between your comments, and we just heard from Justin moments ago on what maybe you thought your intention was when you spoke of it. The floor is yours, pal.
No, you know what, fellas? My intention from the beginning of the season was to represent a hockey club that wanted to contend for a Stanley Cup. So the bar is so high, and I know you guys go through the same thing in Toronto. You can break down and pick apart wins because you don't like them because you know they're not going to be wins in April, May, June. We're in the same position here in New York. The start was great. It was a 5-1 start, marquee win in Toronto. But to be fair, that's the only marquee win the team has had this season. And shortly after that, it was October 24th, the Rangers played against Florida at home. And it was the first game of the season against a real marquee opponent at home, and they got smoked. And from that point to now, no team in the NHL has given up as many rush chances or overall chances as the New York Rangers. They're not playing well at all. They know it. But the thing is nothing's changing. In last night's game, knowing the Devils are a top three rush team, they gave up an odd man rush really early, 30 seconds in, and then 2.5 minutes in, Brat scores on a 2-on-1. Now, they're down 2-0. The Devils get two breakaways in the first period, one of which Jack Hughes has zero back pressure. Everybody was either falling around or out of position. By the time Hughes received the puck, he didn't have to take a hard stride. That's how much space between the next checker and Hughes. And he looked up, he realized it, and I felt like, as a former goalie, he looked at the opportunity as a sniper, which he is, to put one on Shesterkin. And what I thought was interesting was that he's a sniper on breakaways. It doesn't matter if it's Hughes, McDavid, Snuffleupagus. I think it's the same point to be made, which is, and I'll tell you this, Hughes, 80 breakaways over the last 3 years, he's got 25 goals. So he knows what he can do on a breakaway. And I think he took an opportunity to play fancy. Now, the issue I had wasn't with Hughes as much as it was there was no pushback from the Rangers. And that's where I left it last night until I woke up this morning and I had to take my Twitter feed and like put it to the back page because I had to get work done this morning.
Yeah, so it was more criticism of the Rangers than Jack Hughes' actual play. You know, he's a skilled guy who makes skilled plays. Do you have a problem with a player trying to score a goal that way, or even you think it's showing a guy up, right?
Well, no, you know what it is, too, Borny? It's back to the conversation about the playoffs. What we don't see in a Stanley Cup final,
that
semifinal. We don't see Michigan's. We don't see Forsberg's. You know, it's tight hockey. And that's the standard I've held the Rangers to all year. I want to see from them that type of game, the same way you want to see that from the Leafs, and the same way any fan base wants to see their team win the right way. And in terms of that, though, I know that I would like, if I was the goalie, for my bench to have my back there, the guys on the ice to get into the face of the players that were doing that. If I was on Hughes' team, I would have been happy for him. But if it's, you know, in that situation, especially with the way things have gone this year and they haven't gone well, you'd like to see some pushback.
Valley, you're 10 years younger than me, and I tend to see your side of the things that you just talked about. Now, in saying that, I don't necessarily agree with you that that was a blatant sign of disrespect for no other reason than listening to Jack Hughes' comments after the game with, what does that mean? And when I hear him...
You don't think that
No. What I'm leaning towards is that there's a sign of the kids today that I honestly believe that they don't see it that way. And the things that they want to do today that we would have found goofy or a sign of disrespect for the goalies, they don't see today. They don't. And that's why they're willing to try all these things. And yes, they may not try them in the playoffs because they got a guy like Tortorella over their head saying, get rid of that crap. But if they didn't, I think we would see more of those attempts. But, you know, and I never want to crawl into a goalie's head in terms of what you find disrespectful or not. I think that's your right as a former pro goalie to understand where that line's been crossed. But I think they don't know any better to feel like they're not crossing any line. This is just one of the ways I want to try to put a puck in the net these days.
You know what, Kipper? I don't disagree because I'm on the ice with high schoolers a lot all summer, collegiate players, OHL players. And oftentimes when they don't finish a rebound and their posture comes up and they stop playing, I always wonder, why not make it play out like you would in a game? Or if they're not intense on a rebound the way that you would have to be in a game and they do go into more of a fancy mode, you know, I always say to those guys, I'm like, hey, look, if it doesn't feel like a game, don't do it out here in practice, because now the goalie's not getting a good rep and you're not getting a rep that you can keep when the game begins, because the game's going to feel foreign to you if you're not out here performing with game posture, game intensity. I think that's a big piece that gets missed a lot in practice. But I do wonder if sometimes when I'm speaking to these guys, especially the prep school kids now, I was on the ice with, you know, Taft kids, Avon kids, Brunswick kids, for the last number of weeks. And sometimes they might be looking at me like I had two heads, and I'm like, come on, guys, like, if it's not going to happen in a game, don't do it that way out here.
Oh, listen, in my era again, even if I tried that stuff in practice, like if I tried to get any cheese past Glenn Healy in a practice, I'm getting either a hairy eyeball or I'm getting that heavy Victoriaville stick that he used to use right across my shin pads. Like, there's no more competitive guys on any hockey team than the goalies. You try to embarrass them even in a practice, they'll have none of it. And I that's why if you feel that way, like, I can't put myself in a goalie's shoes to understand
what Shesterkin was thinking too. I wonder if he thought it, because it was the first thing I thought of when I saw it. That was the first thing that bumped into my head. I was like, geez, like, that's takes a lot of nerve to do that. And I think he was trying to have a fancy one, because my point about him being a great goal scorer off the breakaway is he could have beat him straight up if he wanted to, but he wanted to make it look good. But anyhow,
okay. Anything more on that
night for the big guy?
Yeah, hey, listen, we all have them. And I thought it was a fair point to make. The only other thing I would add is just the way that people perceive scoring on goalies, I feel like, has changed a little bit. And I think it's evidenced in the shootout by the guys skating in slowly, which I think in some cases they genuinely believe some of this odd stuff is effective. So that's the only 2 cents I have to add to that.
Okay, let's just stay on the New York Rangers because that's where the meat and the real story is, in my opinion. And just in terms of, let's start with Shesterkin. This guy was almost like godlike, you know, for the New York Rangers. We're talking about how much money he's going to make as the new highest paid goalie in the league. And yet now you watch what's happened in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, and he's looking way more human than he ever has before. And the coverage that maybe he was more comfortable with a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, is gone now. And maybe he's the lack of trust in front of him has made him really feel like there's some nights he can get blown out like it looked last night.
You know, we were talking before the game and the pregame, Kipper, about time and space and what that does to a goalie and how it neutralizes their ability to just get a read on it. The New York Times had a really good article yesterday, and it was on goaltending, and it was the evolution of mobility and then being able to have a high hockey IQ. And if you have those two things, you're a modern goalie having a modern skill set that can be very successful and consistent in the NHL. Now, certainly Shesterkin has those two things. But he has the most difficult environment around him. And I know we've talked about this on the show before, and people that are listening maybe for the first time must understand that the goalie is always reading off the positioning of his own teammates. And that way he knows what the options are for his opponent. And if you don't have good sticks and you don't have positioning, the goalie has very difficult math and there's too much conflicting information that he can't just lock in on his target. One of the best examples right now is the success that Hellebuck's having. He has faced the fewest time and space chances, where Shesterkin has faced the most. So when you look at Hellebuck playing a game where he's able to lock on a shot and his numbers, I went through all the goalies today, guys. Hellebuck, where the heck are you? 88 clear-sighted shots over the month, because I was looking at how everybody's preparing before the tournament that's coming up, and he hadn't been scored on once. And it was also his two-on-ones. Faced 6 two-on-ones this month, hasn't been scored on once, but on all the two-on-ones where the puck carrier shot it, every one of them, there was back pressure. And the difference between back pressure and no back pressure is a 10% increase in scoring probability for the shooters. So if you give somebody a two-on-one, a good example is last night's Jesper Bratz, there's no back pressure at all. So now on this particular time, Keandre Miller is defending it. He defends the middle of the ice, but doesn't really press at all. And I like to see Bratz was coming down Shesterkin's right side. I like to see a defenseman's right skate slice through the circle and just come through the circle on the edge so his left skate is still in the slot. Because it's enough where you can still press and just let them know you're there, but you're not giving the lane to pass through. If you jump him, they will pass through you. The easiest way to get passed through is by jumping aggressively in the circle or the slide if it's ill-timed. But on this particular read, there was just so much time and space. And I feel like Shesterkin is stuck there. He's physically stuck. He's mentally stuck. He's technically stuck. And he gets beat on a shot through his five hole. And the second shot in the period goes through him because he's leaning to jump off the pass. And to me, it looked like he was jumping on the pass on both goals number one and two. And that would lead me to say, wow, this guy's game's breaking down right now. This isn't good, because over weeks one, two, through really six of the season, he was carrying everything.
Mm-hmm. Valley, you know, goalies aside, you've been watching this Rangers team as close as anyone. They have not had success since the trades leaked, the big names being Trouba and Kreider. What do you make of the status of this team? I believe they lost five straight games now.
Well, so, yeah, Borny, they lost five, and then they won one, and then they lost again. And the games that they're losing, guys, it was 10 of the last 17 where they're giving up 10 or more high-danger chances in a game. The game on Friday in Philadelphia, it was 8 in the first period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about a game's worth of high danger chances in one period. It's been so difficult covering the team and not being overly hard on them or overly critical. But look, the nut and bolts of it is that if you don't defend in this league, you're going to look silly out there. And even the next game that's coming up on Friday against Pittsburgh makes me a little nervous because Pittsburgh's a run-and-gun team. It's not the ideal opponent for the Rangers at this stage that they should be playing another run-and-gun team. In the last five games, they've had losses against Carolina, Edmonton, Philadelphia. These are all top five off-the-rush teams, including the Devils that we just saw last night. So that's four of five. And, you know, it hasn't gone well. It's like they keep going for it with these teams and they want to trade chances and it's not fitting their game. The one area the Devils are weak is net front. They're not a great net front team. Shots from the point, coming off the walls, protection in front. Joe Micheletti had spoken to Sheldon Keefe about it and it was a concern. And it was something that was seen in the data as well. They're 31st at protecting net front. So knowing that, I was hoping the Rangers were going to play a net front congested win battles in front game. And it just never materialized. They wanted to play them off the rush.
We're talking to Steve Alliquette, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG, also CEO of Clear Sight Analytics. Just to kind of stay on the Rangers for a little bit longer here, Valley, and maybe I'll include the Nashville Predators in this, and I don't know what data can tell us, but just the odds of so many players underperforming at the same time, and what are the odds in that? And, you know, I look at this lineup, and I see the big boys up front, but where they're truly underperforming for me all at the same time, and I'll include Keandre Miller and Adam Fox and Trouba and Lindgren is on this blue line. Like, they're not that bad.
You know, if you watched the game over last night, I bet you guys would say 15 to 20 yips. There were a lot of yips. I mean, guys on two-on-ones, the puck's just taking off on them. Plays in zone where you're trying to bump it back to your defenseman off the wall, right to the slot, scoring chance Devils. There's a lot of lost confidence there. And I'm sure that you guys felt that at some point you could probably even point to a point in your career where, oh my God, I didn't even want the puck at that point. I was struggling so bad. Didn't want to see a shot for me, but you didn't want the puck on your stick because you just didn't feel yourself. That's just run through the team. It's just where they are right now. And I mean, you can say a Kipper, you know, like there's a Barkley Goodrow move and he's a glue guy and he gets moved and I think it bothered the players. And there's also a move with potentially trying to trade Trouba, and it's blocked. His wife is going through a residency here in New York City. And Shesterkin's without a contract. There's a lot of noise. And what I've always felt like over the years is that the noise off the ice always finds a way onto the ice. It always does. And they've had even though they're an experienced group, they just haven't blocked it out at this point. And I think that they've done everything they can to try and resolve it, but it just hasn't been there. It's a different look this year. And every year you're trying to get the spirit of the group to a point where you feel like every guy is pulling for each other. And I know that in 94, you guys were using heave-ho.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see Gravy here in an hour. We're doing an event together here in New York. And, you know, I'm sure those guys are around the team with some insight, too, because you can't play this game. I always felt like as a goalie, as soon as the opponent went individual during a game, you could see it. You know, you're down, you're up sometimes up 3-1 in the third period, and then your opponent is trying to go 1-on-3 on your team. And you're like, oh, we got him. You know, there's a sense that you got him. And I feel like it's going the other way for the Rangers, where they've been gotten here a little bit trying to not skate together, not play together, pass each other's problems onto one another. You know, it's been a tough, tough run. This is the toughest run here I've seen in 10 years.
Valley, I put an article on sportsnet.ca today about...
Can I go one more on the Rangers?
Yeah,
just real quick. Are you going to go Canada?
Team Canada? Yep.
Okay,
yep,
one
yep.
more on the Rangers. Quickly, can this affect Shesterkin's contract status?
Well, you know, you're going to have to call Kevin Weeks.
But
yeah, it's funny. I called Weeksy last week because of his comments. And I said, Weeksy, what do you know? And he goes, Valley, Vegas, ooh, Chicago, ooh, maybe he doesn't want to sign there. Ooh.
Yeah.
And I was like, Weeks, you're not giving me anything. You're just messing with me.
But he does want to try to win now too, is what I'm the information that I'm getting, that it's a very important to him that the Rangers stay competitive. If you're going to start dishing off all these veterans and you may not be looking for veteran presence in return to keep you in the mix, maybe that changes a few things for him.
Well, there's been a lot of change. I mean, look, the start that he had, you would have felt like, you know, Chris Drury, you made a mistake. Should have got him done early. You know, it's going to cost you now. And now you're back to, geez, I mean, you could play it both ways, Kipper, from both sides. Yep. I mean, you might be wondering, like I'm telling you right now, it's the funniest thing to me is looking at the data that includes the time and space, because Shesterkin should have allowed 25 goals this year based on the difficulty of all these chances faced on the time and space ones. And he's allowed 23. It's only a difference of 2 goals. Like, the best goalie in the world, when he faces time and space, fellas, he's still just about league average. That's how important defending is.
Yeah.
And if you don't get that, you'll never win in any level. Because, and I want you know, the viewers and the people listening to know that when there's a stick coming into play before somebody's trying to shoot on your goalie, as long as the goalie can see that stick occupying some space or and it's ready to get there, as a goalie, you can lock in on to where you believe that shot's coming from. And right now, anybody coming in on Shesterkin has 5 feet on each side and 5 feet north-south. And you're like, they could do whatever they want. And they, especially on the east to west stuff, guys, time and space, it's like a chance that goes from 30% to 40%. Can you give NHL players extra 10% all over the ice every night? That's, in essence, what's happening with the Rangers.
Yeah, recipe for disaster. Team Canada, you know, you got to pick 3 goalies. I have my roster projection on sportsnet.ca. I have Thompson, Hill, and Binnington, not because they've been the best, because that's who I think they're going to pick. Is there anyone, how do you feel about my picks? Is there anyone you think they should be picking instead of those 3 guys?
What's Max saying? I'm not telling you it's true, just what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you got for me?
So I heard that DeBoer and Cassidy aren't big on Thompson.
Really?
Yeah, so there might be an influence there, and I'm hearing it's Bennington Hill.
Bennington Hill.
It's true.
Right.
It's just what I heard.
Okay. Well, that's a couple of guys I'm not shocked Hill's to hear, a couple of Stanley Cup champs.
No, Hill's been really good. So I got his numbers in front of me. He's had an awesome, like, you know what it is too, boys? We're talking about who's going to get hot for 10 days, right?
Right.
And Aiden Hill has had an awesome month. He's had 8 broken play goals against, which is a high number, but those are always reflective of luck and bounce. Mm-hmm. So if you take those out, or at least, you know, 4 out, his save percentage would be really high. 26 east to west chances faced in the month, only 4 goals against. You'll notice if you watch him right now, you just saw him last week against the Leafs. He played great. And you got to play out. He's got to play out. And when he plays at the top of what we call the old crease line, the old box, he's playing there right now, and he looks big in his net. He's moving really well. He's stopping breakaways. I'd be very happy for him to be on the team.
What about Marc-Andre Fleury? I'm looking up right now. Was he in Vegas when DeBoer was there? I'm trying to make connections here.
Yeah, he was. I don't think so. Just the age thing, right?
Skinner, being awesome right now.
You know, Skinner. Yeah, I was kind of thinking about Skinner a little bit too. But you know what? One of your old teammates, Kipper Nemchinov. He was my coach in Russia.
Yeah,
and I had a couple of good games at the end of the year, and I was coming off the ice. He was giving everyone high fives. You know what he said to me? Too little, too late.
Yeah, it sounds like him.
A little too late.
You mentioned Skinner. Really, at the end of the day, if he loses a spot on this team, it had everything to do with just a weaker blue line, to your earlier points, correct? At the end of the day?
Yeah, and look, to be fair, he had a really strong blue line last year that elevated him to goal away from everything. And it's coming for him, but he's a very good in-zone goalie. I wouldn't trust him at the highest level with the skill level on those rosters off the rush.
So when it's all said and done, we're going to go into this thing and you're going to say Connor Hellebuck in the USA have a huge advantage over Canada. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, I I wonder. Hey, but we haven't even talked about who the backup's going to be for Hellebuck. Is it going to be Stolarz or Joseph Woll lately? How good has he been? I'm not going to say that, but you guys got
Sammy
a bit of
Sammy made an audible groan when you said that.
Don't send any more Leafs to this tournament. Jeez.
Maybe as a three, Sammy, just so he gets some looks for the for the next tournament.
Sure.
He's been playing great. You know when we talk about environment, guys? Have you guys noticed that Woll's environment's been very good?
Yeah.
He goes home and plays the piano? What?
No.
Candles?
Yeah, so his goalie environment, the array of shots that he faced this month, and we have him at 906 expected. So basically saying that he's had the easiest environment in the NHL of all the goalies that have played in the month of November.
Chris Tanev effect.
He's had a very good month. Stolarz, too. Stolarz, 15 east to west this month, only two goals against.
Jeez.
Yeah. Best goalies in the league. Best goalies in Canada. Best net in Canada. That's what I said at the beginning of the year.
We'll take it.
Any updates or thoughts on Demko? Because we thought he was close, I think, last time you were on the show, and it's like we're all waiting here.
Yeah, I check in, and I'm the same as everybody else. You know what? It's a wait and see, but what a disaster that is for them. It's been tough.
Holding up his end of the bargain, is he?
Oh, well, I think it gets back into a little too much too soon. You know what else I've been hearing from a lot of goalies in the league this year is that guys aren't happy with the lack of practice time.
Yeah.
Didn't think I'd hear that as often as I do, but when I talk to NHL goalies this year, one of the issues everybody has is that with the mandatory day off each week, plus the amount of games each week, they're not getting their reps. And like when I talk to them about breakaway reps, because when do you get your breakaway reps? Typically at the end of practice when guys stay on after. And they're not getting breakaway reps. They're not getting the reps they need to stay fresh. And I always think of Benoit Allaire, our coach, Henrik and I in New York. He used to always say to us, be patient with yourself the day after a day off. And we would be like, you know, Benny, it's only one day. And like, No. You're a finely tuned instrument right now, mid-season. If you feel off, you need to be patient with yourself and don't be too hard on yourself coming off of a day off. And I read this once upon a time. It was a Yo-Yo Ma. If you guys are familiar with this guy, he's the world's famous cellist. Mm-hmm. And one thing that he wrote, which made a lot of sense to me, and it was right to Benny's point, was if you miss one day of practice, I notice. If I miss 2 days of practice, my wife notices. And if I miss three or more days of practice, the world notices. And it's a funny thing at the NHL level when you get there and you're that finely tuned and you're in season, the practice time, a lot of guys are complaining about not getting enough reps and they're not sharp the way they should be. And I think it's something that really influences the way that you play all of your game situations.
Okay, I have to follow this up before I let you go then based on what you just said. If that's all off of one day off, what the heck's going to happen in February when the goalies that don't play in this tournament get 3 weeks off?
You guys have a gambling sponsorship? Bet the overs.
Over. Bet the over. Thanks, Bet365.
Like, it's going to affect different guys in different ways, right?
Hey, Kipper, do you remember the pucks that were going in the year after the 04-05 lockout?
But I remember the ones that we shut down half a season for.
Yeah, right on.
Yours was,
yours was 94, 95. Yeah, after you
95,
guys won.
Yeah, 95.
Yeah, so, I'm expecting it. It's going to be wild. I got to say, it's been a fun year, but there's a lot of change in the game. And maybe that's where I came from last night, too. I feel like I got to lawyer up for these goalies right now. They're getting work.
All right, pal, we're going to let you go. I'm just, we got a lot of blatant respect for you on this show. We got to just make sure that you know that. Okay,
hey boys, I'll tell you, Matt, I have been in one today.
Buddy, in one. You can handle it if anyone can, Val. You got it.
You're a shot blocker. Easy. Try to be us.
Take care, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks, Valley.
Steve,
you too.
Alicat, analyst for the New York Rangers, MSG, and CEO of ClearSight Analytics. He thinks that maybe Jack Hughes was a little kind of coy with the comment, but I honestly believe that Jack, when he said, I don't know what that means,
Steve, by the way. Oh, Jack Hughes. Steve. Yeah,
no, Jack Hughes. Sorry.
Okay, my bad.
That he didn't really understand that where Valley was coming from.
Yeah.
Like, it's not disrespectful if I think that I can score this way in today's game.
Yeah. You know, Jack Hughes is one of the guys in the league that, you know, Valley made the point that you don't see that in playoffs, and you haven't. I think Jack Hughes would do that in playoffs for sure. I do. I think, to him, it's a way to get a puck past a goalie. He, if anyone, is the most confident person I've ever heard speak.
I think we're doing all right.
I think we're a bit of a heater.
I actually can't stand him.
No, same. But he's incredible, and he knows it. And I think he's
a quintessential American hockey player to me.
And there's a lot of them in our league right now that are just like, yeah, I'll try any game. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Like Cup Final, Game 6, Breakaway. Is he doing it?
Is it the now famous Kucherov move where he...
The no touch?
The no touch, and he slides it in.
Yeah,
like,
he fakes the
was that on a shootout or a
no,
breakaway?
No, he did it in the game. He did both.
He did one in a game,
and he kind of lost.
The nerve to try that.
Yeah.
Like... Just not in my world, not in my day.
I would be interested in looking that up, and I wonder if it was in November, December. This feels like the time of year where guys are like, it's game 30.
The one that he did in the game, and I'm just a sicko that I remember this stuff, but the one he did in the game was against the Capitals. I think it was Holtby, and he like did like a few stick handles over top of it, and it kind of slipped through the five hole, and it was sort of the one he got was Robin Lehner in the shootout.
Yeah, he got him clean on that.
Which I think is actually the nastiest shootout goal ever. Like, it's just for him to pull it off like that, have it go perfectly five-hole, I love that one. So, but yeah, I don't think he's trying that in the playoffs. Kucherov coming down out the wing, I don't think he's going for a no-shot shot.
No, it would be pretty audacious.
If he's not trying it in the playoffs, it's only because the guy behind the bench has put the handcuffs on him.
He's going to sit you down.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't think I agree with that.
No, I do for sure. Because, I am not Jack Hughes, but my job was to score goals at different levels.
Yeah, but you're not going to try a no-shot shot.
No, I would try things, and I know that I've been told not to try things anymore.
If you believe that, then it adds to what Steve Alliquette said then last night in the broadcast.
I think Kucherov and Jack Hughes are two totally different situations to me.
Why?
Because Kucherov's won. He's been in the playoffs. He's a killer. He's this type of guy.
You think Jack Hughes cares about that?
No. Jack Hughes sees himself as Kucherov.
Yeah, but I don't think... I don't know. Maybe I'm talking myself into a corner here. But who's more likely to do a one-hander lander in a playoff game? Definitely Jack Hughes over Kucherov.
I'll agree with that.
I just think Jack just marches to his own drum right now. And there's a lot of them now. And that's just that generation now.
Yeah.
That's... what they do.
I'd say we're doing okay.
This is definitely a generational thing.
I don't even know what that means.
I can't. He drives me crazy.
I will say, like what Valley
I'm so
said.
I'm ready to hate him on USA.
Was it least a reasonable suggestion from Valley? Totally reasonable to be like, that has been a sign of disrespect.
Yeah.
So for Valley to suggest it is fine. The Devils to grab it and make it a social media post and put Valley in the crosshairs like that.
I don't even know what that means.
I bet Glenn Healy, give me the wooden goalie stick helicopter like by my ears.
Yeah, well, listen, I was after your era, and I would get stuff. You shoot one off the crossbar in practice, and the guy takes a blocker swing at you. You're like, sorry for trying to score, man.
Yes, exactly. My way.
By the way, Valley, talking about practices, I didn't know any goalies who liked practice. Would have loved to have been teammate with one goalie who liked to practice. Anyway.
Okay, we got
to
take a quick break.
Yeah, we got a break. We've been late.
We got to take a quick break when we come back.
Game time on the other side.
We'll do game time on the other side. Plus, your sportsnet.ca has the latest on Team Canada projections on the lineup. We'll get right into that. And my beef with NHL and the Players Association on what's
NHL already we're
gone
for time.
On.
And Philip Hronek injury update as well.
Ooh, all right. Okay. Back when we return after these words.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Last block on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. A reminder that this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kypros, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, and it is game time.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. A lot of good games tonight. Got the Edmonton Oilers and Vegas Golden Knights, probably the best game of the night in Vegas. Edmonton Oilers are a pretty big favorite, actually, in that game. Minus 135 heading into Vegas. Love a little bit of value on the Vegas Golden Knights. Money line at home, plus 115. And I got to tell you, the Sharkies have gone from horrible to totally watchable.
Yes.
And I think tonight, them going up against one of the best teams in the league, I think the best team in the league by points percentage in the Washington Capitals, and the fact that they're only plus 235 in that game has shown you how far they've come and how far, you know, Bet365 thinks they are. By the way, Timothy Liljegren, boys, lighting it up for them. 3 goals, 2 assists already for them.
Ooh,
yeah, 5 points.
3 goals. Holy. That's a career high at the Leafs, 4.
And the last game that I'll bring up is, feels like these two teams play every single night, but it's Detroit visiting the Boston Bruins at the Boston Gardens. That's Boston Gardens, TD Gardens. And the Boston Bruins are minus 180 favorites against the Detroit Red Wings. Both those teams are pretty mid to me, but the Detroit Red Wings are worse, clearly, plus 150. Take a long shot on the Red Wings. They got to win eventually at some point here. Get a win, big win. So give me the Red Wings, plus 150. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Lilly has seasons of 6 and 5 goals with the Leafs.
So lighten it up.
3 is not his career high, after all.
Okay. Sportsnet.ca. On the eve of Team Canada being announced tomorrow,
yep.
You've got your picks.
Yep.
They include two guys that got called in at center ice for the Philadelphia Flyers who were awfully excited.
Yeah. I wrote that in the article. I was like, maybe I wouldn't have picked them, but we kind of know what happened here.
I love that.
Yeah.
I
can't pretend I don't know.
I love Konechny.
Yeah.
Konechny's a great player.
Travis Sanheim is a little bit, so after this happens, I look into Travis Sanheim as deeply as I know how through all my
days. Yeah, of course.
I kind of feel like, how did I miss him in some of my previous iterations? Like,
yeah.
He had 44 points this year. He's 6'4", 222. He's got 15 points this year. He plays good competition. He kills penalties. He's really good.
Yeah.
Really good player. Having a great year.
Then, just not one person in the sports world watches the Flyers then? Like, not one team, not anybody can claim to have said that they have Travis Sanheim on their projected roster.
I think it's with D, it's a lot closer than forwards. And for potential other names, like at the fringes, there's the Doughty injury, which you don't know, but there's Parayko, Uyghur, Hamilton, Bouchard, Riley, Montour, Dobson. Like, he's just one of those guys.
Mm-hmm. We're going to see John Cooper get an abundant of his players on this team.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
So Cirelli's yes.
Listen, trust what you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I do think that these guys will be affected having seen St. Louis and Yzerman have their
And you had Hagel on.
I did have Hagel on. I don't have that as all that Hagel's close either.
He's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
It's
He's
funny.
Really turned into a player.
You look back at that proposed Leafs trade, and I think it was for Hagel and Marc-Andre Fleury, and it was Matthew Nyes and 2 firsts. I don't even think that would be that bad of a trade, looking back at it, if you had Hagel on the team right now.
Because the reason it was so high was Hagel was making $1.5 million for like 3 years or something.
But like, if they at least just had Hagel right now and Nyes was on the Blackhawks, I don't think we would be like, oh my God, how they, you know, it's...
Yeah.
That's a fascinating what if.
Mm-hmm. Definitely is.
Last night, Connor Bedard, not even a shot on goal against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That all but solidified that he won't be on the team.
No, he's not on the team. And he's not.
And Celebrini will not be on the team
either.
Okay, how do you put these kids on now, knowing that there's so many other of these great names that are having good seasons, that are projected stars on their respective clubs? Like, you just... You can't do that.
No.
Not 2 years away projecting that, oh, they're going to be on the Olympic team, so let's put them on now. Like, we could all be got hit by a bus between now and 2 years from now.
Let's see how they look in 2 years before we decide they're on the 26th Olympic team.
For sure.
And I look at your forward group, I'm like, where are they getting in there? Like, where? Like, where's?
Yeah, who's coming out?
Yeah, like, yeah. That's like those point, two
point,
top lines.
So I'll just try to rattle it off. Point yeah. McDavid, Reinhart, Hagel, McKinnon, Marner, Marchand, Crosby, Konechny, Stone, Cirelli, Scheifele, Bennett. That's my forwards.
I love those.
I have Bennett in, Tom Wilson, Zach Hyman. Take your pick on that.
No, Zach Hyman.
No. See, no. I like Hyman.
I know, but it's just he's not playing well, and it's just not happening.
Last year, lock. Yeah. This year, just hasn't been there for him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I still think he creates similar chances, and he forechecks, and he PKs, and I like the way he does, the way he plays.
It's
a great-looking team here, Borny, got to tell you.
Pretty good.
Like our chances. Like our chances.
My beef with the organizers of this tournament, let's go to the Players Association and the league, is like, you cannot tell the players Sunday morning who's on the team. You can't have the team submit their list and think you're going to hold it off until Wednesday.
I don't understand why would they.
What world do you guys live in that everybody's going to keep it a secret? It's out. I don't know. It's just like, why would you do that? If the networks want to reveal it on a show, why would you let that type of information out there to just, because we're going to start hearing all of it before Wednesday.
Like, you got to submit your list on December 2nd, they said. Why do you have to call the guys December 2nd? They're not making plans if they're close. They don't need 2 days more notice.
This is...
Wait, hold it.
Let them find out on TV.
Let them find out on TV, okay? For the Olympics, 2 years from now, do not tell anybody. I'm sorry, but if you're in this era where the players have to sell the game, then sell it. Then... right to the very end here.
Mm-hmm.
Be totally with the fans. I'm sorry. We'd like to tell you. I'm sure you'd like to know earlier.
Well, if you find out tomorrow or the next day, it's the same thing.
Love that steak. Totally
agree. You cannot hold it for 48 hours and think that no one's going to start.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already trickling out there that Marner's the only Leaf on Team Canada. It's like, it's just already coming out. Like,
well, and
the Bennett thing too is not like, not 100% just opinion. Like, more, I don't know for sure, right? But.
And, you know, there's alternates too. So a lot of the guys have to stay ready as well. So Morgan Riley and Chris Tanev, there's a chance that they could participate in it.
Yeah, as alternates.
Yeah.
And I could see that those guys are names that were not far off.
I like Tanev hanging out in the beaches.
Boy,
for
he
2 weeks.
Really, he made it close for them, I heard.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, is that
but
right?
Just relax at home. Just relax. Keep those, the biscuit-eating legs and arms. Relax those things at home for 2 weeks.
Take some rest.
Yes.
The one that I do have on there that I don't know, that is pure speculation, is I have Doughty as their 7th D. He is supposed to come back a month prior to the tournament, and no one else grabbed a job for me for that 7th spot. If Doughty is still hurt and can't go, you have alternates you can then turn to. But you couldn't pick someone else and then be like, wow, Doughty looks like Doughty, and put him in.
I love having Doughty there.
So if he's your 7th guy and he's not playing, I like him as an experienced veteran guy.
Find a way to get him in. I think there's, I believe there's going to be some significant injuries between now and February that will allow some guys necessarily not on their radar to step up.
And that could be what happens where they say to Doughty, you're the first alternate, the odds of all 7 guys being 100%, like you got a 52% chance of getting in or something. But if he's looking like Drew Doughty can, you'd hate to not have him on the list.
Yeah, like, I mean, he was leading the league in ice time when he gets hurt. Like, it's like he is a go-to competitor.
Loves the Canada stuff.
Yeah, like he was on the ice for the Golden Goal Boys, as a rookie. So, or maybe second year guy. It was really young. Yeah. So.
All right. News and notes around the league. Where do you want to start? Patrick Laine activated from the IR.
Back tonight.
Well, nice
versus
to have
your Islanders.
Nice for them to have something to look forward to for once instead of getting killed every night, their team.
Getting killed by us on this show. But, I mean, they haven't been great. So this is good news. Line A, you know, the way the injury happened, he felt like he wanted to be impactful from the get-go. And
I really hope he could find a little bit of magic early here. Montreal needs some help. They're really down in the dumps.
They're a dump squad. They are. Like, they just be better. Be better.
Are they going to trade guys like Josh Anderson? And, like, are they going to do stuff? Can someone get
players out of there? Are they in a position to hold money? Is anybody going to take, you know, Taylor Hall struggling? You mentioned him earlier. He's at $6 million. So, much money are they going to have to hold off?
All of it.
Not a chance. No, who wants that? You know, I don't know.
I saw that Ehlers on IR.
Was there any? You also said NHL CBA talks set to start early next year.
I think the thought is that, as Gary mentioned, has gone on record. He wants it kind of tied up by maybe the Stanley Cup final. I'm so interested to see where this goes. I think there's a lot of question marks. I don't, because I know the history of this thing, not necessarily convinced that this is going to be a smooth ride.
No, you're jaded. And you should be jaded.
I don't know if I'm jaded. I'm just...
How could you not be?
They want to make sure seems like they're going to be...
I'm so far removed from it. It's like...
Yeah.
I don't know if jaded is the right word, but I do believe that from a view of 30,000 feet high above, that there's plenty to fight for still between the players and the owners.
Both sides have issues to broach any changes they want, but the trajectory of the league combined with a strong working relationship between Bettman and union executive Marty Walsh means there's reason for optimism.
Marty Walsh does give me optimism in terms of just him coming in and fixing a lot of things that, like, he came in, he's like, yeah, we're going to have international hockey. And then, like, the next day, he's like, yeah, we're back at the Olympics and there's a tournament next year. It's like, that can happen.
Since the start of the salary cap, it's always been about the salary cap kind of about revenues trying to catch the salary cap, thus the escrow. And now it's opposite. Now it's
chasing revenue.
Yes, the cap is trying to chase the revenue, which is okay for a few markets making a ton of money, but it's not necessarily a good thing for a lot of teams that are not making great money, maybe not losing a ton of money, but not making great money. And then there's others that do lose cash money every year.
Well, you said they want to have it wrapped up by the Stanley Cup final. They have till mid-August then to get it done. So lots of time.
But the CBA doesn't expire till September 15th, 2026.
You know, great if they want to chat. I'm really disappointed in you. Because you are like an Islander through and through based on your family ties. Yep. I brought in a goalie mask that I painted when I was 12 years old. Sammy picked up on it right away.
Oh, my God.
And you didn't.
Look at that. You painted that?
I painted that.
I don't know if we can get it on camera. I'll go grab it. Hold on.
I painted it with model paint when I was 12. So now, because, you know, my family moved into another home, I'm going through stuff and I'm like,
that is beautiful.
I got to throw this. I got to throw this stuff out.
That, okay? You'd never throw that out.
And I said, well, instead of... I was this close to put it in the garbage.
In the garbage,
and
Kipper.
I'm like, well,
Kipper, what else are you about to throw out, brother? Bring it in.
Buddy, not a bad garbage to sniff through.
You have no idea the stuff that I've thrown out.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you'd cringe.
It would make me sick.
You'd cringe.
That's pretty cool,
like, man. Once you're past, hey, kids, you want it? No, Dad. Yeah. No, Dad.
So true.
Why would I want that mask?
It's so true.
And I'm like... All right.
My mom going through her house and being like, do you want this? And it's like, I just don't.
Well,
I
you have a new child to bring it to, Kipper. I'm sitting across from you, buddy. I'm a young man.
We should have giveaways on the show is what we should.
Yeah, we should.
All right, good show today.
Jersey.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah.
Jimmy Ralph in our Leaf Edition Hour, and then Steve Valiquette, who made a ton of noise since last night's Ranger loss.
And you know, though, he didn't back down from what he said. Good for him. Stick to your guns.
Good stuff, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy your game tonight. whichever it may be. And we're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great night, everybody.